The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
To this point here in the UK, I think we've had three programs that have advertised Mystery of the Ages. And if my count is correct, 288 copies have gone out this year because of or directly as a result of the response to The Key of David in the UK. My goal, this is my personal goal, I'm going to let you in on my personal goal for the rest of this year. This doesn't mean that we're going to be advertising Mystery of the Ages every single week from here on out. But by the end of this year, my goal is to distribute 2,000 Mystery of the Ages from the UK regional office as a result of the TV program. We've got about 7 months left in this year, but at least gives us something to all collectively think about and to pray about as we work to dispense with the message. For the weekend, as I said to you last week, we had, I think it was 603 total requests over the past year, with the other five programs in which we've offered Mystery of the Ages. So this repeat represented the sixth time that we've offered the book. 777 now total, so we're 39% of the way to our goal. But just taking that 190 figure, that puts us now at 974, I believe. So as it stands, the total requests for Mystery of the Ages as a result of the Key of David UK program now stands at 999 requests. We're one request shy of the halfway point for Mystery of the Ages. That brings the total for the year to 1,265, which means that with just a little less than 3 months left in the year, 2.5 months actually, we're 735 requests shy of our goal. But we had 114 total requests a week ago, bringing our total to 1,380 for the year. That's 1,530. That's 470 shy of our 2,000 goal. We have 7 weekends left in the calendar year. We've taken in 1,740 requests for the year, 1,740. But the mail processing center here at Edstone has since informed me that the actual number of books that have been mailed is more in the neighborhood of 1,560, which leaves us about 440 short with 2 weekends to go. But it does bump up the grand total for the year now to 1,707. And so here's what we have at the end of this calendar year. The Mystery of the Ages television programs in the UK brought in well over 2,000 calls and text requests. And I've told you how that some of those were duplicates and so on. And so the actual number of books was a little bit lower. And so now we know that the number of books was about 1,800. More than 2,000 requests, 1,800 books directly associated or related to those programs, and in total, 2,277 Mystery of the Ages went out this past year. Now, if you look at that in comparison to the previous 9 or 10 years, when, if I'm reading the stats correctly, and they can correct me later if I'm wrong, but I think in the previous 9 or 10 years, we had distributed about 5,000 Mystery of the Ages. And so to get almost to half that amount in 12 months' time, it's been a tremendous year. Well, there you have it. In the spirit of the year in review, all the reports that you see in the media here at the end of this Roman calendar year, that little montage brings back lots of good memories if you're a regular listener. As we've pushed and pushed these last 7 months, and I gave you the final figures there yesterday. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, by the way. If you'd like to email the program, send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. This will be my last show for the week, as I'll be attending a a conference here at our headquarters campus for the next several days. And so I thought it'd be good to end with a look back on this Mystery of the Ages goal and to perhaps look back a little farther to this history that we've had with Mystery of the Ages. First, a couple of comments in response to yesterday's show from Australia. This woman writes, "That's fantastic news about sending more than 2,000 MOAs in the UK. We'll keep praying for thousands more to come in the next year." Another one writes, "It was great to hear the very encouraging news on today's show about the Mystery of the Ages distribution for the year. As an avid listener and supporter of this work, I'm constantly amazed what God's power backing a work can achieve. So much spiritual food is coming from every direction. There can be no doubt whatsoever that this is God's end-time church. So much spiritual food and so many doors that God has opened for us to get the message out. We had 52 weeks of television programming in the UK this past year. And this after really a couple of decades of attempting to have solid television coverage in the UK. Of course, we've been on TV before in Europe and in the UK, but it's just always been so very expensive. And the number of households that we reached, it just didn't amount to much. It was so difficult for people to even get the show or to get the program. But now we can look back on this calendar year, and for 52 weeks, we've been broadcasting all across the UK, even into Ireland. And if you count all the apps, the website that you can get on to watch the Freeview stations, you can pick it up in Europe as well. 52 weeks, and those programs, 52 of them, generated nearly 8,000 requests for literature, as I discussed with you yesterday. And of those, 1,800 were Mystery of the Ages. The total number that the office sent out, 2,277, as was mentioned there in that montage. But in looking back over these 52 weeks, I think if I counted them up correctly this morning, we produced 14 programs that advertised Mystery of the Ages, the first one being Who and What is God back in March 1st of this year, and that generated 69 requests, and that got the ball rolling. A month and a half later, The Mystery of God Should Be Finished, 92 requests. And then in May 10th, we were just super excited about Is There a Real Spirit World? Because that brought in 127 responses. That was the record response to that point. And so for the first half of the year, we had nearly 300 requests for the book. And it was at that time, as you heard at the beginning of that montage, that I told our supporters in the UK, this would have been mid-May, that for the remaining 7 months of the year, that we want to go from 300 to 2,000. And I was telling you along the way that personally, I was just really excited about the study, my own study, going through Mystery of the Ages again, trying to come up with as many different topics as I could for programming, trying to look at as many different ways as possible that we could advertise Mystery of the Ages. A World Held Captive, that played on July 4th, and that, of course, was the first weekend that we added two more stations. And so that program, advertising Mystery of the Ages, that set another record, 203 requests. And then after that, Why Israel? Taken from another chapter in Mystery. And then we repeated the Spirit World program, and that brought in nearly 200 requests. And then in August, the most important book since the Bible, almost 200 from that one. In September, Make God Real. Make Him Real. Advertising Mystery of the Ages once again. And then in the month of October, the Mystery of Civilization and the Mystery of the Church. Both of those programs played in October, both of them performed well. And then in November, we ran two repeats, The Mystery of God Should Be Finished, and then the most important book since the Bible. Both of those brought in quite a few responses. And then just here in the last 2 weeks, December 19th and 20th, The Mystery of the Kingdom of God, taken from the last chapter of the book. And then finally, just this past weekend, Remembering Herbert W. Armstrong. 11 original programs, three of them we played twice. And in looking back over the year, of the top 20 programs that we produced, in terms of literature requests, of the top 20, nine of them offered Mystery of the Ages. And so there was no let up. Maybe if there was any let up at all, it was right here at the end with these last two, but even 123 requests to a program that played 1 week after a program that advertised the same book. That's still very solid. But it performed well all through the year. Nine of the 20 top programs advertising Mystery of the Ages. That shows its appeal. That shows its importance. There's only one book on this earth that really does explain the mystery of God. And there's only one group out there that's proclaiming this message, that's distributing this work, that even fought for this work. 6 years. Grueling litigation. Herbert Armstrong, of course, completed the book in 1985. And he said, I feel I myself didn't write it. God inspired that book. And he wanted it to go to the largest audience possible. And he said so many different times. The thing is, he died 5 months or so after it was first published. And then it barely lasted for another 2 years. It was in the middle of 1988 when those who succeeded Mr. Armstrong discontinued the book and, of course, started to disfellowship ministers like my father, who stood up against the changes that were happening in the Worldwide Church of God, the many doctrinal changes. As the Takach administration came in and took that church in a dramatically different direction and repudiated all of the teachings of Herbert Armstrong and dismantled his worldwide work. And so they started to disfellowship any and everyone that would stand up against it or that would even dare to criticize what they were doing. Well, that, just in summary, is how the Philadelphia Church of God started on December 7th in 1989. And for those first many years, we started with just 12 people. For those first few years, when we just had a few hundred supporters, a few hundred members, many of those members were out scouring local bookstores, used bookstores, trying to secure as many copies of Mystery of the Ages as they could find, because we knew how central that book was and is to all that we believe and teach. And so we were trying to collect copies so that we could give them to new people who are interested in this church, who were interested in the message of this church. Well, Well, it got to a point where in 1996, our church was growing so fast that we just didn't have enough of those archived copies on the shelf to satisfy the needs. And by that point, I mean, the Worldwide Church of God was, it didn't even look like the church of Mr. Armstrong's day. Total departure from God's truth. A great falling away, as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2. And so we started printing the book in 1996. And instead of printing copyright Worldwide Church of God or copyright Philadelphia Church of God, we just put on the copyright notice inside that first printing of Mystery of the Ages, our first printing, we put copyright Herbert W. Armstrong. It belonged to him. And his final wishes were that this book should go to the largest audience possible. And so we started distributing Mystery of the Ages. We printed in late 1996. We started distributing in early 1997. And it was on February 10th, 1997, that we learned that the Worldwide Church of God had filed a lawsuit against our action to try to prevent us from distributing a book they wanted to bury, a message they wanted to destroy. They came along initially and said, well, they just printed and did it without seeking our permission, as if they would have said, sure, go ahead, had we asked initially. And then also, as soon as this litigation started, this is 7 years on from the PCG beginning. This is almost 10 years on from when they discontinued the book, that they then said, well, we were actually thinking of reusing that material in some form or fashion. Later that year, this is in the middle of 1997, later that year, they let the truth be known. Whether this is something that was planned or inadvertent, it's hard to say. But in Joe DeCotch Jr.'s book, Transformed by Truth, this came out just soon after they started to litigate this case. There's a little footnote in the back of his book, and it really doesn't even relate much to what's discussed within the book. But in that footnote, in the summer of 1997, Joe DeCotch Jr. wrote, in February 1997, we filed suit against the Philadelphia Church of God to block republication of Mystery of the Ages. He said, we feel it is our Christian duty, our Christian duty, to keep this book out of print, because we believe Mr. Armstrong's doctrinal errors are better left out of circulation. In one moment of transparency, they let the truth slip. They let the truth out, that we have no intention of ever using this material again. In fact, we want to block it from ever being published again. We want to keep Mr. Armstrong's doctrinal errors out of circulation. And so obviously that one comment became the centerpiece of our defense. As we told one judge after another, well, look, we have a fair use. We have a right to fair use on this content. This is the United States of America. They can't just stop books from ever being printed again, particularly when the author himself wanted the book, wanted the message to go out to the largest audience possible. Early on in the litigation, after they realized how big of a blunder that footnote turned out to be, they actually argued in court, in depositions, that, well, that was just the personal views of Joe DeCotch Jr., who was, by the way, pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God at the time. But their lawyers said, well, that's just his personal views. That doesn't necessarily reflect the views of the Worldwide Church of God. Joe DeCotch Jr. himself said that by stating what he said in that footnote, he didn't really mean to keep the works out of print. He was talking spiritually, you see. When I said I wanted to block republication, I didn't really mean I wanted to keep the works out of print. I was talking spiritually, you see. That's what he said. Well, in the first round of litigation, it actually went quite well for us. Judge Letts, there in a district court in Southern California, he looked at the facts and concluded that, well, the PCG has a fair use to print and distribute this book. Otherwise, no one would have access to it. But then the Worldwide Church of God appealed. It went up to the Ninth Circuit. And we really had a knockdown, drag-out battle on our hands. We had oral arguments on Monday, December 6th, 1999. This would have been just the day before the 10-year anniversary of the Philadelphia Church of God. Almost 10 years to the day after my father was fired by Joe DeCotch Jr. in Pasadena. Here we were in Pasadena again, just a few blocks away from the Worldwide Church of God campus, in court, fighting for the rights to distribute Mystery of the Ages. It's interesting because going back 10 years before those oral arguments, my father was in Joe DeCotch Jr.'s office. And upon getting fired and disfellowshipped from the Worldwide Church of God, my father told Joe Jr., this is the first sip of a bitter cup. It's the first sip of a bitter cup you're going to have to drink. And at the time, of course, he was seen as a nobody. All the top officials in the Worldwide Church of God just mocked Gerald Fleury and the establishment of the Philadelphia Church of God, calling us a little peanut shell just floating around on the ocean. No work, no ministers, no income, no nothing. And here we were 10 years later, in court battling on that Monday morning. The whole proceeding lasted only about an hour. The Worldwide Church of God's attorney got up and basically talked about how that we were a fringe group with extreme views. And he actually said that we were making all kinds of money by distributing Mystery of the Ages for free, I might add. For free. We were making all kinds of money. This was a cash cow for us. He tried to tell those three judges. And then he told them also that the Worldwide Church of God had plans to publish Mystery of the Ages all of a sudden. They had plans to annotate the book. They weren't intent on destroying it or blocking its republication, not at all. They wanted to use it. And Judge Brunetti, one of the three, seeing through this weak argument got him to admit the Worldwide Church of God attorney. He got him to admit that they hadn't begun discussion on this so-called annotated version until after this litigation had started. Well, that's true. That's true, they admitted. In the second half of the oral arguments, our attorney, Mark Helm, got up and just gave a brilliant defense. But it was clear as he was defending this church that two out of those three, the other two besides Judge Brunetti, were very much in favor of what the Worldwide Church of God was doing, trying to block republication of this book, Mystery of the Ages. You know, you walk into that courtroom, by the way, and you see these big judges in long black robes, and it's easy to be over-impressed with these men and the power that they have. I mean, here we were in the midst of the way we viewed it, a life and death struggle for the truth. But that same day of the oral arguments, I guess it was later that night, when we went out to dinner at a restaurant in Pasadena, that, and I don't think he recognized us, because we were just sitting in the back of the courtroom at the time, but we sure recognized him. It was one of the judges, Judge Schwarzer. He was in his casual clothes, just out having dinner like we were. And it really did strike me that, well, this is just a human being that for his day job, he gets underneath a long black robe and he does wield a certain amount of power in this world, but he's a human being nonetheless. And it's God who wants the message to go out. It's God who inspired Mystery of the Ages. It's God who inspired the battle cry, the largest audience possible. And it's God who will give us the opportunity to continue with this work, to carry on, to raise the ruins of a work the Worldwide Church of God tried to destroy. Schwarzer, as it turns out, he wrote the majority opinion of those three judges, a decision, a judgment that ruled against us, a 2-1 split decision. It was Judge Brunetti who dissented. Let me just read to you some excerpts from his dissent. This is an opinion that was produced or published on September 18th in the year 2000. And Brunetti writes, "I respectfully dissent and disagree with the majority's reversal of the district court's ruling on fair use. The copyright dispute in this case arises from a change in religious doctrine of the Worldwide Church of God. This doctrinal shift produced a splinter church, the Philadelphia Church of God. PCG, which was founded by defrocked WCG ministers in 1989, seeks to adhere to WCG's original religious doctrine as espoused by its former leader, Herbert W. Armstrong. In particular, PCG views Mystery of the Ages, a book written by Armstrong, as a divinely inspired text necessary for proper interpretation of the Bible. It's required reading for every member baptized into the PCG church and any prospective member prior to their attendance at church services." I mean, here's a judge, a distinguished judge, that pretty much got the facts of the case right. He says, "WCG, on the other hand, has renounced many of Mr. Armstrong's teachings since shortly after his death in 1986, although it had previously distributed approximately 1.25 million copies of Mystery in book form and 8 million copies in serial form. WCG ceased publication and distribution of MOA in 1988. WCG then destroyed all excess copies of MOA in its inventory, retaining only archival and research copies. WCG has not printed or distributed any copies of MOA since 1988 and has no plans for publication or distribution of the work as originally written. Judge Brunetti said WCG took this course of action, at least in part, because it believes that MOA contains historical, doctrinal, and social errors. Armstrong's successor at WCG explained that WCG has kept MOA out of print because based on a Christian duty to keep Armstrong's doctrinal errors out of circulation. He says further down, although WCG claims that it plans to publish an annotated version of MOA, as of 1998, a decade after it ceased publishing MOA, testimony of WCG leaders demonstrates that the annotation of MOA is not something that's going to be decided or happen anytime soon. It was just all a ruse. It was all a lie. That's what we learned in those 6 years of litigation, that they were willing to say anything in order to get a judge to side with them. They were willing to lie and say that, well, when I wrote to try to reblock any kind of publication of this book or block any republication, I didn't really mean that. And oh, by the way, we're producing an annotated version. And then later on, it went from that to e-publishing a book. And then from that to, well, I guess I'm getting a little bit ahead of the story. In any event, to finish up what Brunetti said, it says PCG was founded because its ministers and members believe the religious doctrine espoused by Armstrong and as set forth in Mystery of the Ages. When WCG changed its church doctrine and renounced much of Armstrong's teachings, the founders and believers of PCG were forced from WCG, as they could no longer practice their religious beliefs as set forth in Mystery of the Ages. It was WCG's doctrinal shift and renunciations that created the PCG and its need to publish Mystery of the Ages. As I say, that's a judge there from the Ninth Circuit, a court, by the way, that's known for its radical liberal views. But here's a judge that really did get it right. Well, but the other two didn't. And so we immediately appealed. We first petitioned for a rehearing en banc, as they call it, trying to get the 27 judges there at the Ninth Court to hear the case again, but they didn't take it up. My father told our church members, it's not over though. We're going to win this in the end. We absolutely know that. He wrote in March 2001 while we were waiting to hear if the Supreme Court would take it up. He wrote, we're in a court battle over Herbert Armstrong's book, Mystery of the Ages. The big issue is who owns the copyright. And then later on, he said, I prophesy to you that one way or another, God will provide a way for us to mail that book again. One way or another, it's going to go out. We know this. And yet a few weeks after he wrote that, this is on April 2nd, in 2001, the Supreme Court declined to hear our case. They only take up a fraction of the cases that are submitted to them. I think something like 1%. And so it appeared on the surface that all was lost. That after the Supreme Court decided not to take it up, that we would then just return to the district court for the lawsuit over damages. How much would we pay the Worldwide Church of God in damages? Well, even as we were preparing for that part of the lawsuit, my father was just there getting stronger and stronger and stronger in our literature, saying that God wants us to distribute. God wants us to dispense with this message. God wants us to reach the largest audience possible. God's not going to allow somebody, some man, to stop the message until the work is done. He said, look, we're only temporarily delayed here. We've got to keep the faith. We've got to pray for the breakthrough. Of course, he based many of these statements on prophecies in Amos 9, Daniel 11 and 12, well, Daniel 12 especially, along with Daniel 8. And then Revelation 10, here in Revelation 10, verse 7, it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. The mystery of God has to be finished before Christ returns. My father told our membership, we're commissioned to get this out to the world. This is telling us that mystery of the ages is going out again. Now, he didn't know all the answers as to how God would do it, as to how it would work out in court. He just knew what God said we needed to do. So we continued to fight. We had filed a counterclaim against them after they filed suit against us. A counterclaim for 18 other works. Besides Mystery of the Ages, we took it to another level. And even as we prepared for the damages trial, we were preparing for those depositions. We were going to hold their feet to the fire. We were going to expose them for what they had done to the church, for what they had done to Mystery of the Ages, for what they had done to all of Mr. Armstrong's literature, all of his work. Well, early on in the damages trial period of the litigation, Ralph Helge, who was one of the lead attorneys on their case in the Worldwide Church of God, also, by the way, a member of the Worldwide Church of God, he said in an interview in May of 2001 that we should have asked, and that if we wanted to print Mystery of the Ages, we should negotiate with the Worldwide Church of God. This is after they were already gloating that, well, we lost. They won. Now we have to pay damages. Now we have to pay up. And just a little while after that, he started sending out signals that the Worldwide Church of God wanted to negotiate their way out of this. And then they brought up this argument again that, well, you should have asked us before printing it. And we would always respond to that by saying, you said it was your Christian duty to block it. What's the point of asking? You said you don't want Mr. Armstrong's teachings to ever see the light of day. What's the point of asking? So they persisted with this. You should have asked. You should have asked. And so we finally asked, all right, if you're serious, what do we need to do to get fair use? Of course, in their minds, it involved a lot of money, but it was worse than that, much worse. As we carried on in these negotiations over asking for their permission, we come to find out that the terms for us paying them to distribute these works, it would include a preface attached to every single one of Mr. Armstrong's publications, Mystery of the Ages, The Incredible Human Potential, The Missing Dimension in Sex, The Correspondence Course, The Autobiography. The Worldwide Church of God would now make these available if we paid them, but they would all be prefaced by 1,500 words explaining that Mr. Armstrong was a heretic, that he was uneducated, that he taught false doctrine. And so we exposed them for what they were really intent on doing. Again, it was to ridicule, to mock Mr. Armstrong and his teachings. And if, well, they had to go ahead and make them available, they were going to make them available on their terms. And we said, no, thank you. No, thank you. And as long as you're bringing up all this information in your infamous preface, let's get into how you went about destroying the Worldwide Church of God. Let's get into the way you went about changing every doctrine, the deceit, the dishonesty. And so we pressed forward in the summer of 2002 in particular with one grueling deposition after another. Ralph Helge, Joe DeCotch Jr., Bernie Schnippert, Mike Fizell, Herman Hay. We had them all there in a room at a legal office building under oath. And through it all, we exposed so many of the lies. We exposed their true intent, their true motivations. And then it was later that year when they finally contacted us and said, look, what would you be willing to give us for these works, these 18 works on your counterclaim and Mystery of the Ages, so that this can be over and done with? Those negotiations started in October, I believe, of 2002. And then we reached a final agreement. Of all dates, we reached a final agreement on January 16th, 2003, which happened to be the anniversary of Herbert W. Armstrong's death. But it wasn't quite over then, because after we agreed to purchase the copyrights, then they added another stipulation. Okay, you give us this, we'll give you all these works, but as part of the agreement, you have to turn over or return all of the documents that you received in discovery. All of the internal memos, all of the emails, all of the reports, all of the files that show what they did, that show how they did it. And we said, no way. No way are we agreeing to that. We pay fair and square for these writings so that we can put copyright Philadelphia Church of God, and we keep all of the items of discovery so that we can produce a book of our own that tells the true story of what they did. My father said, that's a deal breaker. He told the members of the church, I'm getting my second wind. I'm ready to go back to court, even if it is for damages that we have to pay. And so that went back and forth for a period of about 2 months. And then finally, in March 2003, they quietly capitulated. All right, you can have Mystery of the Ages, you can have the 18 works, and you can have all of the discovery items. and you can go ahead with your book. And we did do that. We won all the rights in the end. Some way or another, just as my father had said, somehow or another, we're going to be able to distribute, to dispense with this message. And we're going to produce a work that exposes them. And that book was completed 3 years later, Raising the Ruins. It tells the inside story of what happened in the Worldwide Church of God after Mr. Armstrong died in 1986, how they went about discontinuing all of that material, blocking its republication for a time, and how that then this little church, this little David, took on Goliath and took down Goliath. That story is told in our free book, a wonderful compliment to the Mystery of the Ages text, and perhaps one that we should work to distribute more in this next calendar year. That book is Raising the Ruins, and we can send you a free copy if you don't have one already. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. The live stream's available at kpcg.fm. This, as I said at the start, is my last broadcast for the week, as I'll be attending a conference now for the next several days. We've got quite a collection of substitutes lined up for you beginning tomorrow. I'll leave it as a mystery who you'll be hearing from in the next several days. But there will be some, in some cases, some familiar voices. In other cases, not so familiar. So make sure you tune in beginning tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, depending upon where you live on this earth. Tune in, give them your support, and keep sending us those emails. Send them to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next week.